I hope you like to sing.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Very good, because you're going to help me as I tell you about some songs, and we're going to go through them. The first song I have, the writer of this hymn, I knew about him from listening to Alfred Smith. He had spoken in a New Jersey assembly down in Springfield, the Toms River Assembly, and he gave a story about John Peterson. Other than that, I can't find anything written about him. But he wrote this song while he was flying from India to China during the war. He would bring fuel to the Flying Tigers, and then he would come back, come over the hump, over the mountains. Now, there were times when he came back during the nighttime, and he would see God's handiwork above. And he wrote a hymn called It Took a Miracle to Hang the World in Space. It Took a Miracle to put the stars in place. And he wrote that song when he was flying over during the nighttime. But then he would have flights in the daytime, and as he was going back, he would see the sunset. He would see over the Sunset Mountains, and he began to write this song, Over the Sunset Mountains. Why is that off center?
You want to start the PowerPoint?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we'll just have to go. Over the...
Start the PowerPoint?
I did. I didn't?
Slideshow.
I did went to the slideshow, but...
Oh, here.
Okay.
Well, you...
I thought I did, anyway.
Slideshow.
Okay.
From current slide.
All right, I guess that's it. You got it.
There it is there. And then that's the next slide.
Yeah, I got you.
No problem.
By the way, those of you who know Karen, I called her and told her I was coming, and I didn't have a computer to put anything on. And the next thing I know is they ring the bell, and Amazon delivered me a computer. She purchased this for you guys so that I could give you this story. And I just tell you,
wow.
So, okay, so we're going to sing Over the Sunset Mountain. I want you to understand that this is a man who was in a war, and he was never sure whether he was going to make it back and forth. But after he did, he remembered these incidents, and he wrote about them. How many know this song? Okay. I thought I was going to have to sing a solo. You wouldn't want that. I know you wouldn't. So we'll start. Please go through it once, just to remind. Yeah, just... I'm going to have him play the first time through so that you, those of you who didn't know it, will know how it goes. Join me and we'll sing it together.
Over the sunset mountains, someday I'll softly go into the arms of Jesus, He who has loved me so. Over the sunset mountains. toiling will soon be ended. Shadows will fade away. Sorrow will be forgotten. Oh, what a wonderful day.
Now you know why that song was written, and you can sing it. I'm going to leave you this copy, so you, if you want it, you'll have it. Okay, my next story is about sunrise. Now, where would they? You need a sunrise to have a sunset. It has to come up first, and then you see the other. Well, this man who wrote this was called Mr. Poole, and he wrote about 500 hymns in his life, including songs like Just When I Need Him Most and Count Me. And my this man was a multi-writer. I mean, he was very good. And he wrote because of seniors. Now, how many here are seniors? I know, don't I know there's a lot of us. I'm a superhero. I don't know. I think Grandpa may be older than me, but I don't think anybody else is. Now, you wouldn't guess my age, and I won't tell you, but I was born way before the Second World War, not the First World War. yes, so here we have a song written so that older people could think about the glory of going home. Sunrise is written because in 1924 there was a conference down in Delaware, and those present paid their respects to a retiring pastor who'd completed many years of faithful service. They saw it as the end of something worthy of note, but he wound up saying confidently, and he presented a different different perspective. He said, "Do not feel sorry for me, brethren. You see, the end of this life is not death, but resurrection unto eternal life. Not a funeral, but a festival. If God should call me home, I would be but the beginning of eternal life. You have the wrong emphasis when you speak of having reached the sunset time of life. I'm waiting steadily into the start of, or the sunrise of tomorrow." The pastor who was there, one of them, his name is William Charles Poole. He was in attendance at the conference, and those last words, sunset of tomorrow, caused him to write, "When I shall come to the end of my way, when I shall rest at the close of the day, when welcome home I shall hear Jesus say, oh, that will be sunrise for me." And the chorus goes further, and it says, "Sunrise tomorrow, sunrise tomorrow, sunrise in glory and waiting for me, sunrise tomorrow, sunrise tomorrow, sunrise with Jesus for eternity." How many know this song? Okay, I'll try to sing the first stanza quietly, but I'll give you how it goes. Go ahead, please, Bobby.
"When I shall rest at the close of the night, when home I shall hear Jesus say, oh, that will be sunrise for me. Sunrise tomorrow, sunrise tomorrow, sunrise in glory is waiting for me. Sunrise in glory, sunrise tomorrow, sunrise with Jesus for eternity."
Now come on and join me. Please, we'll start with the first stanza.
"When I shall come to the end of my way, when I shall rest at the close When in his beauty I see the great King, join with the ransomed his praises to sing. When I shall open thy tribute to bring, oh, that will be sunrise for me. Sunrise tomorrow, sunrise tomorrow, sunrise in glory is waiting for me. Sunrise tomorrow, sunrise tomorrow, sunrise to praise us for eternity. Third stanza. When life is over and daylight is past, in heaven's hung harbor my anchor is cast. When I see Jesus, my Savior, at last, all that will be sunrise for me. Sunrise tomorrow, sunrise tomorrow, sunrise in glory is waiting for me. Sunrise tomorrow, sunrise tomorrow, sunrise with Jesus for eternity.
You did great. You're very good. I'm glad you like the song. The next song that I have is called, and I think you sing it here, God Leads Us Along. And I thought you'd like to know a little about that song. It was written by a man by the name of George Young. He wrote this song, and it became the favorite of a man called Haldor Lillenis. You may have remembered or recognized the name Lillenis, for he ran Singspiration for many years. He put together many hymns, as well as writing many of his own. How many have Singspiration books? I think they went numbers 1 through 13 or 14, I think. And there was another group of songs or books that were written called Favorites. And they also had a number. These were all... He started this, and he passed it along to a man by the name of Alfred Smith. How many know Al Smith? If you have BBN, I don't know. Hey, he's always giving him histories. So this is one of his that he gives that I really appreciated. It's a story of how this song was written, but not so much how it was written first, but what it did to his family. He couldn't find the author because the author died, but he found out that his widow was still alive, and she lived quite a ways from where he was in Kansas City, and he drove there to see him, to see her. And he got to a gas station when he got into town, and he said to them, "Here's the address I'm going to. Can you tell me where this is?" And the attendant, who had come out very bright, shiny, and welcoming, and very happy, looked at the address and says, "Oh, my. You're not really going to this place, are you? This is the county poorhouse. And I mean, it's poor." Well, Mr. Haldor, who had just driven all the way, said to himself, he says, "I think I'm going to turn around and tell him to fill up with gas and I'm going to go home." But the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him do that. He prompted him. He says, you go and visit. And he got there. And sure enough, it was a sad place to see. But when they introduced her to the widow, she was so bright and happy, and she says, "Oh, Mr. Haldor, you came all this way to see little old me?" And she was close to about 100 years old at that time. And she was moving around and walking, and she straightened up her 4'10" that she was, and she says, "I'm so glad you're here and God sent you here." She says, "I'll tell you what," she said, "I was a little girl and I grew up in a Christian home and I got to know the Lord, and one day along came another Christian young man, and George came to me and asked me if I would be his wife. But he told me that if I became his wife, God was first. And she said, I agreed. God is first. And so they, together in marriage, began to serve the Lord. And they determined not to go to big churches. They were going to help only the little churches with few people. And therefore, you can understand that they got very little help financially from them. And so they never really had very much. But they managed because George was a carpenter. And he says, I've got the occupation of the Lord Jesus. And he went around and he helped these churches. He fixed them up and he would rent himself out during the week when there was no meetings, and he would gather money that way, and that's how they lived. Well, he put away a little bit of money, and eventually he had enough. He was offered by another Christian a piece of ground and at a low price. So he bought it, and he said to his wife, we're going to have a home. And he built this home. And it was wonderful. It took him two years to build because he built it by himself. And when they went in the house, the first thing they did was they spoke the doxology. They sung it. And they prayed. And they asked the Lord to bless it. And he, his wife, and his two sons that were in there had the house for a number of years. George never stopped working just because he had home. He would still go, and he would take his family with him whenever he left. He would take them around, and they would make their rounds to these churches. One night, when they came home, they found only ashes. It had been someone who didn't like him, didn't like the fact that he had a house, didn't like the fact that he preached the gospel, didn't like the fact that he had been told he was a sinner. He put a torch to the house, and George and his wife stood there, disappointed and shocked. And then all of a sudden, George says, no, no, no. He says, God had his hand in this. For all our life, we ate, it was hand-to-mouth feeding. He says, but it was always God's hand. It was always God's hand. So on his knees there, he thought of a new hymn. And he started with it this way. It says, away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leadeth his children along. Now, the third stanza of this, I want you to take note when you're singing it, because it is a tremendous, it has the sorrows befall us and Satan opposed, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Now, he wrote the third stanza first, and then within 3 days he had the other stanzas. But it was all the first stanza he put in the third one, in the third for us to sing. So as you sing it, remember, this widow was there. And you say she's in a poor house. Well, she told Mr. Haldor, Lilliness, she said to me, you know, I wondered what I was going to do when God took George. And she said, you know what God did? He put me here. And every single month, I have a new person that comes in that didn't know the Lord. And I have a chance to teach him and to tell them that the Lord loves them. Mm-hmm. She said, and it's been wonderful. I've had a wonderful time here. And Mr. Lilliness just shook his head, and with tears in his eyes, he left and went on his way. But he never forgot this song. By the way, this song to Mr. Lilliness, Haldor Lilliness, he was taught this song by another woman when he came over from Norway. He didn't know anyone, and he had to learn the English language as well. And a woman, a Christian woman, took him under her wing, and she taught him this. Now, I want to tell you that she wrote a hymn as well. And I went through my notes and I I had missed them. Here it is. Her name was Mary Payne Ferguson. Anybody know which hymn she wrote? You probably sing it, which is why I'm asking. Do you ever take the hymn and look up here? The writer of the words is on the left. The music is on the right. The person who wrote the music for it. Well, the song she wrote was Blessed Quietness. Do you remember that? This woman took Mr. Lilliness and taught him, and that is how he got to do the things that he did for the Lord, through her. So when you sing Blessed Quietness, remember that. Okay, let's... You know this hymn, so we'll just give us an introduction there, Bob, and we'll sing it. In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads their children along. Where the waters cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the grass, some through the snow, some through the fire, out all through the blood. Some through the great bubbles, with the wind and the calm. In the night season and all the day long. Thank you for singing the chorus without the words. Okay. Sometimes on the mountain the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song. In the night season and all the day long. Though sorrows befall us and evil possess, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer and beat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song. In the night season and all the day long. Away from the fire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Some through eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song. In the night season and all the day long. By the way, this young man, George Young, he wrote both the words and the music for it. So he did a great job, I think. The next song that I have, and I hope you recognize who wrote that. Does anybody know who wrote that? That was Fanny Crosby. You know, she wrote over 9,000, almost 9,000 hymns that they know of. She might have written more under a pseudonym name that they didn't know. But she is credited with that many hymns. But, you know, I want to tell you about this particular song and why she wrote this. She was at a New York camp meeting in Poughkeepsie, and It was a singing church, and they were just enjoying everything, and Blind Fanny was there. But early one evening, as God began to paint the western sky because there was a storm, along with other guests that were sitting on the porch of the hotel, they began to describe this sunset. And in particular, Dr. Mumhale began to describe to Fanny the brilliance and the glory of the setting, and she hung on every word because she remembered that way back when she was a little girl, her grandmother used to describe that, and she said to herself, oh, God is still making beautiful sunsets. And she listened to what everyone that was sitting there did, and she excused herself, and she said, thank you so much. I cannot now see the sunset, but someday I will see my Savior's face. And she went in her bedroom and wrote this song out as a poem. No music to it. It's just a poem that she wrote. And no one knew about that poem for 2 years. And one day she went to hear Dr. Dwight L. Moody and his campaign in North Hall in Chicago. And there they had two meetings every day. The daytime meeting was done by another preacher called Mr. Pearson, and he would take the afternoon meeting and Moody would have the evening meeting. Well, this one particular day, Mr. Pearson said to Fanny, would you come and speak to us on this week? We'd like you to preach. She said, no, I don't think so. I'm here to hear. And he pressed on, and she said, don't you know that the Lord says women should keep silent in the church? So he said, well, you're not in church here. We're having a crusade. So he pressed, and she finally said yes. And when the announcement was given that Saint Fanny was going to speak on that Thursday, the place was packed out, not only with the unsaved, but with many, many of the believers. They were there to hear her. And she didn't disappoint them at all. For George Stebbins writes that every eye was moist as she explained her life story. And she finished up with, I'm going to read you a poem. And she began with this poem of Saved by Grace. And when she finished this poem, which started off with, someday, till then I'll watch and wait, my lamp all trimmed and burning bright, that when my Savior opes the gate, my soul to Him may take its flight, and I shall see Him face to face and tell the story of His grace. Then she added this. She said, if God came down today and said, Fanny, I'm going to give you your eyesight, I would tell him to go back home and keep it. She said, I want to see the face of Jesus first. I don't want to see anything else. And so she wrote this song, wrote this poem. After everything was over, Ira Sankey, who was there at that day, he went over to her and he said, Fanny, give me the words of that. I want to put music to it. And she said, I'm sorry, Ira, but I want to keep it as a poem that is special to me for the next couple of years. Someday down the line, I'll let you have it. And unbeknown to Fanny, there was a reporter there from a magazine called The Christian. And he had been writing everything down. And he had the poem. And he didn't know that Fanny didn't want it given out. And he put it in the paper, and it was there that fall. Ira Sankey ripped it out of the magazine and ran to Fanny's home and said, Fanny, I've got the words to it. Will you give me permission to put music to it? And Fanny said, Ira, don't get mad at me. But no, I don't want you to put music to it. I want Mr. George Stebbins to put it to music. So Ira said, okay, I'll go visit him. And he went to George's house and he gave him the words and he says, listen, Fanny would like you to put the words to this. And then he turned around and he said, I guess we know who's Fanny's favorite, don't we? But it was all in fun because they all loved each other and they all worked together. And George C. Stebbins put the music to this song, and it is probably the most commonly sung Fanny song that we all sing. So I'm just going to ask you to join me in it, okay?
Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But all the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the king, and I shall meet him face to face and tell the story.
I guess I didn't put the chorus up. I was content to sing. Okay, sing with me. Here is the second stanza.
Someday my earthly house will fall, and I can't tell how soon it'll be. But since I know my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. And I shall see to face and tell the story, send my grace, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story, send my grace.
This is the stanza that was the first stanza of this song when she wrote it. So they never put the one that is so touching to them in the beginning. They usually you put it in the second or third stanza, and on this one it's the third stanza. So sing it with me.
Someday when bends the golden sun beneath the rosy tinted west, my blessed Lord will say well done, and I shall enter into rest. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story, say my grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story, say my grace. Someday till then I'll watch and wait, my temple trimmed and burning bright, that when the Savior opens the gate, my soul to him may take its flight. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story, send my grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story, send my grace.
Can you put up with two more hymns? These are all about, or this one is about another blind man who happened to be on the shores of the Winona Lake. It was at a particular school that they had there. Mr. Roadheaver used to have a school, and everyone used to go there to refresh themselves and learn more about how to make singing and music more rightful. They wanted a right kind of writing. Somehow today's music has lost it totally. I'm sorry. I'm not appreciative of today's music. But at any rate, the man who wrote this hymn It's called Beyond the Sunset. What did I do here? I lost it. There it is. Okay, Beyond the Sunset. Virgil Brock married a young woman who was a music major. Her name was Blanche Kerr Brock. Kerr was her maiden name. The two of them would write hymns, but they have one hymn that stands out from all the others that they wrote, and it's this one, Beyond the Sunset. They were sitting around watching over the lake when the same thing that was described by Fanny Crosby happened at that lake. The sky just was threatening, and then it broke and the sun came out, and right on the lake was the burning red sun, and it was just so beautiful. There were about 8 or 9 people there, and each one was chiming in, "It looks like this, it looks like this," and finally they said, "I guess we can't really describe it so that you have seen it," but he said different. He said, "People are always amazed when you talk about seeing." I can see, Horace said. "I see through other people's eyes, and I think often that I see beyond the sunset." And that phrase sparked Virgil, and he wrote the chorus of this hymn. And his wife said to him, "That is beautiful. Let's go to the piano." And she began to play. And then he put the words one by one. Each verse had a particular theme. In the first verse, it was, "O blissful morning, when with the Savior heaven is begun, earth's toiling ended. O glorious dawning, beyond the sunset, when day is done." And then he said in the second stanza, "No clouds will gather, no storms will threaten, no fears annoy." You see, he had just come from seeing this storm. And so he puts it in the second stanza, "O day of gladness, O day ending, beyond the sunset, eternal joy." And on the third stanza, which again is the one that he started with, "Beyond the sunset, a hand will guide me." See, the blind man always had his wife with him, and he was always being guided. "To God the Father, whom I adore, his glorious presence, his words of welcome, will be my portion on that fair shore." And then he winds up with the fourth stanza, and he gives credit to his cousin who was blind. And here's the last one. "Oh, glad reunion with our Savior, when with our dear loved ones who've gone before, in that fair homeland will know no parting, beyond the sunset forevermore." I'm going to ask him to go through it, and how many know this? Oh, you all know it. Wonderful. We're going to sing it. Just introduce us. Thank you. All together.
"Beyond the sunset, O blissful morning, when with our Savior heaven is beyond, earth's toiling thank you.
time is done. I had one more hymn, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to ask Bobby to teach it to them at some time in the future. He has the music, and it's also on your screen. It's Beyond God's Sunset. And that one had a message in the last stanza that I will just tell you, that in all of this singing, I want to invite anybody who doesn't know the Lord to be their Savior. The last stanza of that song, and by the way, it's only a three stanza. It says, and if you know without a doubt that all of this is true and everything that we've been singing about, and in your life you know the joy the Lord has saved for you, give him your heart, believe his word, and he will see you through. Then you will live eternally beyond God's sunset too. So I hope you can learn that, and I think you'll love it. It was written by A.B. Smith, Alfred Smith, and the story of that song, you're going to have to wait till another time. So shall we just close in a word of prayer? Father, again, we give thee much thanks and much praise for those who have gone before and written songs that resonate with our heart and invite us to look beyond this world and the things that are happening in it. We are concerned, though we are hopeful of the Lord's return. As we see everything going haywire in this world, everything in this world is gearing up to that time when the tribulation is going to begin. But Father, before that happens, we know that thy Son will return and take us home to be with him. And we are interested in that beyond the sunset. Again, Father, we give thee thanks and ask that you would be with us, that the rest of the day we might honor and glorify you with these thoughts that we have been introduced to today. Give thee thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.